Hey there, this is Pastor Bill bringing you News in Focus. This one is from FoxNews.com. The writer is Perry Chiaramonte, and the date is November 9th. The title of this article is On the Brink, Christianity Facing Middle East Purge Within a Decade, Says Group. The dwindling Christian population of the Middle East could vanish completely within a decade unless global community intervenes. Say, alarmed aid groups who say followers of the Bible are being killed, driven from their land, or forced to renounce their faith in an unprecedented pace. The world has largely stood by as dangerous tide of intolerance has washed over the region, according to a new study by International Catholic Charity Aid to the Church in Need. The study includes disturbing data about the plunging numbers of Christians in the part of the world that gave birth to the faith and makes a dire prediction what could happen. It's an answer that depends on the response of the world, Edward Clancy, director of the outreach for United Kingdom-based Aid to the Church in Need, told Fox News. What response is there going to be toward us if we act? Elijah Brown said last Christmas was the first time that bells did not ring out in the city of Mosul in 2,000 years. I think that speaks to the reality that hundreds of thousands of Christian families are living on the edge of extinction. While Christians are under siege from Islamic State radicals in war-torn Syria and Iraq, the report notes that the religion is being targeted through the region. Christians who have managed to escape ISIS have fled to places like Europe and Lebanon, while members of the faith are also under increasing pressure in Iran, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and the other Gulf nations. The Christian population in Iraq has plummeted from 1.5 million in 2003 to current estimates of 275,000 and could be gone for good within 5 years. It's interesting. You say, why does he cite 2003? Well, because that's when we went there and helped everything by putting Sunnis in charge, by putting Shias in charge, and oh, good heavens. The good old U.S. of A. We sure do know how to fix things. Go in and make deals and allow people to run themselves and in a civilization that a British general said in the 1920s, people only understand force. Well, the ISIS knows that. Now, this is a sidebar from the article. ISIS knows that, and they're using force. Well, anyway, the dwindling numbers are due to genocide, refugees fleeing to other countries, those who are internationally displaced and, internally displaced, and others hiding in plain sight and not allowing their faith to be publicly known. A dozen Christian families flee Iraq each day, according to 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative, a Falls Church, Virginia nonprofit dedicated to promote religious freedom worldwide. Listen to these percentages of Christian population. In Lebanon, 38% are Christian. In Syria, 5%. Saudi Arabia, 4%. Libya, 2%. Jordan, 2%. Iraq, under 1%, is Christian. Can you imagine? Can you imagine after the 5,000 lives of American soldiers that have been spread, that have been spent in the so-called democratizing of Afghanistan and Iraq? And to say that the Christian numbers have been cut by almost 80% since we went there in 2003. Back to the article. Unless the global community gets involved, we'll witness the loss of Christian witness in a land that is biblically significant. He noted Iraq's second largest city, once home to a thriving Christian community as old as the faith itself, has now been overrun by ISIS and purged of Christians. In Syria, where Aid to the Church in Need has sent $9 million to help Christians driven from small villages north of Damascus, an estimated 15,000 Christians have left their villages to seek refuge in other places. He told the charity Christians are terrified that ISIS, in a constant seesaw battle for territory with government forces, will capture their villages and kill all non-Muslims. And of course they will. They have almost 2 years of history of doing this wholesale. They are particularly fearful for the key city of Sadad, where Christians lived peaceably with Muslims for centuries. We are afraid of ISIS, which God will hopefully prevent. We'll conquer the town. We would lose the center of Christianity in our diocese, Archbishop Selawanas said, adding that 2 years ago, jihadists held the town briefly and killed at least 45 Christians and destroyed churches and homes. The report names Egypt as one nation in the Middle East that has reversed the trend under President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi following the ouster of the Muslim Brotherhood and its Islamist agenda. He himself is a Muslim, but he's vowed to protect Egypt's Coptic Christians and last Christmas attended church services with them in an unprecedented show of tolerance and solidarity. So remember Egypt, I'm going to tell you. As a pastor here at Berean, remember Egypt in your prayers. that God would save their president with the gospel of Jesus. Such a development holds out a potential beacon of hope for Christians and others in the Middle East against a backdrop of growing Islamism, the report stated. While the situation is most dire in the Middle East, Christianity is under assault in Africa and Asia too. Well, and I would go on, but I do want to just point out here once again that our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering. I do want to balance this out because I know that I've got some brothers that are keeping me accountable with informal conversations and checks on learning. I am not going to say that each one of these Christians who is suffering for the gospel. No, I would say that that would be unwise for me to say that. I don't think that that's honest to say that they are all gospel believers. I don't know the situation for all the Christians in those nations that are dying. But I do know that there are some gospel believers in that crowd. Even though they're called Coptics, some of them are gospel believers. Even you have to think that if someone is willing to die for Christ, they're probably a believer in his gospel. I mean, ISIS even knows the play that the cross has in Christianity. They're nailing Christians to them as a sort of joke, a mocking joke. Well, what do we say to these things? Well, first of all, I want to point out that I don't particularly care what my president or anyone says. Islam is not a peaceful religion. Maybe American Islam is friendly. Maybe American Islam is tolerant. Yeah, maybe. But here's from the book Son of Hamas. Son of Hamas. Copyright 2010. This is the man that was, well, the son of a Hamas leader. And as he's working for the secret police of Israel, on page 198, he writes, "In my spare time, I continue to hang out with my Christian friends to talk about the love of Jesus. Actually, it was a lot more than that. Even though I was still just a follower of the teacher, I felt as if I was experiencing God's love and protection every day, it seemed, to be extending to the members of my family as well." And then he gives a couple of examples. "Though it may," next page, page 199, "Though it may seem strange to those who have not sensed God speaking to them in internal voice, on this day I heard God speak to my heart, and I was told," and he goes to relay a story about how he was saved from Israeli helicopters taking out a target close to him. At the bottom of the page it says, "Somehow I seem to always benefit from divine protection, and I wasn't even a Christian yet. My Christian friends were praying for me every day, however, and God, Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This was certainly a far cry from the cruel and vengeful God of the Quran." So here's a man that, in his religion, is still a Muslim. And he knows that the God of Christianity is different than the God of Islam. For those of us who think, well, we're a notion away, at least I have some time. No, back to my comment about a so-called tolerant American Islam. Maybe you should take a look at what happens when Islam can run things, like in Dearborn, Michigan. Maybe you should take a look at how our president is playing with the Islamic Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood. Maybe you should see that our borders are weak against Mexico and that we have done podcast after podcast on here. You can look at them under the label of Islam or under the label of world religions or under the label of current events, or you can just type in Islam or ISIS. They are a big part of what is coming through the southern border. And with our weak, nonsensical, cowardice sort of policy towards putting people in our country from other nations, where we're just letting everybody, it seems, in at the rate of thousands. Well, I think we should think about, with all this influx, how American Islam is not going to be American much longer. As they gain strength, they will gain courage. Today in world history, world religions, I'm going to be speaking to our students about the escalating presence of Islam. And I just want to remind some of you out there that think that you have time to sit on a fence and not pray, not fast for your brothers and sisters in Christ, to not ask God to crush the Islamists, to not crush the ISIS, to ask, you think you have time to not take action in this regard? You think that you cannot be emotionally involved because you have your American lifestyle? I would relay to you the words of Mordecai to Queen Esther when she thought that she would stall a while before seeking the favor of the king on behalf of her people. Here's what Mordecai said. Think not with thyself that you'll escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. If you altogether hold your peace at this time, there will be an enlargement and a deliverance from the Jews, for the Jews from another place will arise, but you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I want to ask you, when was the last time that you took a risk for God's people? Because if you don't, you're not safe in the palace of America. One day, we will lose these freedoms. And that's not so much what bothers me, as much as it is Christians who are neither expecting persecution nor are seeking to fight it. That's what concerns me. Christians who are ignoring the possibility of persecution, and those who are resigning themselves to it. That really concerns me. And I think that you ought to give some thought to what can I do today to curb what's happening over there. This is Pastor Bill. Thanks for listening.